You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Back again for another busy week in the American League West, MLB.com Extras, the AL West edition. We go to Craigslist, where we're looking for a general manager in Anaheim, as well as new general manager in Seattle, with Jack Dorenzic recently ousted. But in Houston, it's their division to lose, and for the first time in well over a decade, they're leading going into September. A pitcher with two arms gets a win in Oakland, and the Texas Rangers not satisfied with the wild card. Their strength has been pitching. Their greatest fear might be pitching. That and more this week's edition, MLB.com Extras, American League West. B-Tags, you and I getting together here September 1st, and we were just talking, you know, before we started this thing, and it's been a long, long time since an Astros team was leading the division this late into a year.
Yeah, you're right. It's been at least over 10 years. As you know, the 04 and 05 teams made the playoffs, but those were wild card teams that have to scratch and claw in the last week of the season and didn't clinch the wild card to the final day of the season. And, you know, the 01 team won the division, and I think the 03 team was in contention for a pretty good while. So, just very meaningful games in September. It's been a while, but yeah, leading the division in September, you're going back more than a decade. So it's some uncharted water, I guess, for some of the newer Astros fans.
Yeah, pretty heady stuff, man. I mean, it was the great start that put them in this position. They have battled and basically held serve for the most part. The Rangers, you know, have made some moves, right? And we've seen them surge in the second half. But it's currently a four-game lead. You have seven head-to-heads against them. And I don't know, you know, just thinking about mentalities in that Astros clubhouse, how much do they feel the Rangers coming? And how much do they relish the idea of having seven left with them where they can, you know, ostensibly deliver the knockout blow?
Yeah, I don't know if they feel them coming. I mean, they've been in first place pretty much the whole season. If you remember, right before the All-Star break, they fell out of first. They lost six in a row. The Angels caught them. And they turned around right after the break and, you know, won like 7 of 8 and jumped right back over the Angels. And you really don't hear much talk from the players about who's behind them or what they have to do, because it's just sort of, hey, you know, we're end of April, we're in first. And the May, we're in first. And end of June, we're still in first. And so they're just kind of cruising along doing their thing. But yeah, seven games remain against the Rangers, and those are going to be big. And the Astros have not played the Rangers very well this year. They got swept at least once. So they're going to have to really come strong in these games. They have four games coming up in the next 2 weeks on the road in Arlington, four night games. And that will be a big decider. I mean, after those four games, you could have a good idea of where they finish, or we might not. We might still be back where we are now. But yeah, I think you put it a good way. The Astros have held serve. I mean, they won 14 out of 15 there in late April, and they've just sort of feasted on that. And right now they're at 14 over 500. So outside of that 14 out of 15, they're a 500 team. But, hey, they did it, and they earned it. And they're just sort of milking that as long as they can here as they go towards a division title.
Well, they've done a lot of things right. You know, they have put themselves in this position by – and, you know, every team goes through those tough stretches, and they minimize theirs. That All-Star break came at the right time. You know, it's kind of a weird exercise and one that I think we don't normally play. It's a little perverse. But if you were to think of down the stretch, what one player could you least afford to lose? You know, I know it's a small list, right? You could throw Altuve in there. You could throw Dallas Keuchel in there. But, you know, a name you could certainly throw in there would be Jason Castro. I mean, he deals with that pitching staff every day. He's done a really nice job this year. What is the general feeling about his ongoing availability? How long before he's back, and how serious is his situation?
Well, he's not even doing any stuff yet, and we're still a few days removed from the injury. So I get the idea this isn't going to be an immediate thing. No one's really put a timetable on it. I wasn't in Minnesota, and I actually didn't see Jason yesterday, so I haven't had a chance yet to really talk to him about, you know, where he's at with the injury and so forth. But I got to think, if he's not even doing any workouts or any stuff yet, that it's going to take a few days for him to be down, and then, you know, he's got to get the baseball activity going and take some swings. And, we all know this is a process, and maybe they can speed it along a little bit. The good news is it is September, and rosters have expanded and max stats here. But, you know, Castro's done such a great job defensively this year, even though he's struggled for most of the year with the bat. Still, you want him behind the plate for a lot of your starts. Hank Conger has only thrown out one runner, stealing all year. You know, that could become an issue. Stassi's, you know, got a pretty good arm, but how well is he going to swing it? But, yeah, losing Castro, that's something they're going to have to overcome and hope they can get him fresh for the playoffs or get him healthy at least.
We're underway in September, and we welcome you in. MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Angels edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Alden Gonzalez. Alden, it's September 1st. The Angels are third place in the division, 7.5 games out. I don't know. We've gone back and forth on this all summer. August just frankly wasn't a good month. And I don't know. I don't want to call this race yet, but it certainly could have cost this team their chance. What, in your mind, what went wrong in August?
Wow. Dave, I think it'd be easier to pinpoint what went right in August. not a very good month. That's putting it very, very lightly. You're right. I mean, there's an entire month left, and who knows what can happen. But, you know, at the end of the year, if they don't end up making the playoffs, they're going to look back in August as the month that kind of ruined everything. And, you know, I was just looking at some of the numbers, looking back on everything that went wrong. And, I mean, it's just unsightly, really. Last in the major leagues in batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, runs per game, tied for the most amount of errors, 28th in the majors in starting pitcher ERA, 28th in the majors in win percentage, 23rd in the majors in relief pitcher whip. Mike Trout had the worst month since his worst month since his first full season in 2012. The top three hitters in their lineup, which is Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, and Cole Calhoun, combined to bat 218. Chris Iannetta, their catcher, batted 130 and lost his starting job. David Freese was out for the entire month, and the third baseman who filled in for him were 15 for 83 combined. The 7-9 hitters in their lineup at the start of this road trip, when Johnny Giovatella was placed on the disabled list with an undisclosed illness, 10 for 58. Jared Weaver's fastball velocity went down from 85 miles an hour in June before landing on the DL to 82.9 miles per hour this month. Hector Santiago has just given up 14 runs, 12 earned in his last three starts. You had C.J. Wilson being out for the year. You had 0 for 15 with runners in scoring position in a three-game sweep against the White Sox in the middle of August. You had a three-game sweep at home against the Blue Jays when their pitching staff gave up 36 runs. This past Sunday, they lost two balls in the sun. Joe Smith had the worst outing of his career this past Saturday against the Indians when he gave up 5 runs and didn't record a single out. I mean, David, it's just, it's across-the-board struggles for this team. Absolutely nothing went right. And really, you know, the one thing that Hector Santiago said last night after another crushing loss, this one to the A's, he said, you know what, August is over, September, here we go. That's what he said. And you know what, that's really the only hope they can cling to now is that, you know, it's just a symbolic flipping of the calendar to a new month. That's really all they got right now.
Yeah, boy, I don't know if that's an impressive or depressing list of items. You're right, though. You know, it is a little more than a symbolic turn of the calendar because, as we all know, you expand rosters in September, and we've talked about not just expanding rosters, but seeing actually guys get healthy and come back. So give us an idea of what we should anticipate seeing. You know, David Freese coming back. What are the call-ups we might see? Because there is a chance. Let's face it. There's a chance that you get right in time and make one last run at this thing.
Yeah, and look, David Freese is the big one. And like I touched on before, that production from the 7-9 spots in their lineup, a combined 10 for 58. David Freese could help that. He's not going to solve the entire offense. But plugging David Freese into the lineup, now you move somebody like an Eric Ivar down or a C.J. Krohn. You know, a couple of guys move down in the order. Now all of a sudden you don't have a lineup where 7, 8, 9 is basically automatic out because, you know, Caleb Cowart's done an amazing job turning his entire career around, but he just got called up in the middle of August. He's still trying to figure out major league pitching. He's not really ready yet. Grant Green has struggled at second base and filling in for Johnny Giovatella, and the Angels have basically spent the entire year not getting any offensive production from catcher. So 7-8-9 has been a real issue on this road trip. David Freese returning at the very least allows him to turn over the lineup a little bit. And you got a couple of other reinforcements coming. You know, Matt Joyce is going to come up. And look, Matt Joyce, obviously fans were really frustrated with Matt Joyce all year. He gave them no production through the first 4 months. But he is putting together some really good at-bats in AAA. His numbers look good there. So who knows? Maybe Matt Joyce has found something in his swing that will at the very least allow him to be the hitter that he was the last 3 years. Maybe he could be an occasional starter against righties or just simply a lefty bat off the bench to give them something. Colin Cowgill, the Angels love his energy. He's always been a big piece for them. He's going to come up as well. You know, there's no one real savior coming up in September, obviously. David Freese is the big name, but these guys just got to figure it out internally, you know, and some of the hope that you can cling to is that, you know, I just gave you all the numbers from August. There's no way that they could play any worse in September, you know. You could only go up from here, and they have a lot of games left against American League West opponents. When they finish up in Oakland, they're off on Thursday, and then they start a three-game series against the Rangers, the team they are now chasing in the wild card race. So there will be opportunities for this team to make up some ground and sneak into the playoffs.
TR, we're at the very front of September. In fact, the very first day of the month. I went back 1 month. The Rangers were 8 games out of first place. Today they are 4 games out of first place. You know, look, I mean, at that pace, that puts them right in the dead heat at the end of the year. It seems like this team is playing its best baseball right now, too. In as much as we talk about the wild card race all the time and look at all those other contenders, how much of that might just be noise when really they've got games against the Astros left? This could be a division they could win.
Absolutely. I think we have 7 games left with the Astros, if I remember right. And, you know, when you talk to the Rangers players, they're talking about the division. They're not talking about the wild card. I mean, right now, at this point, they're leading the wild card, which is obviously a good thing. But they want to win this division, and it's in front of them with the Astros within reach of them and with the games left to play. So I think right now the Rangers are focused on a division title again.
Of course, all that just starts with taking care of business one day at a time. But when you get to September, we expand the rosters, you know, some teams more aggressively than others. And then, you know, you always have to be careful and take into account personalities and situations. What's your read? I mean, I know there's a little early news about Gallo being one of the just a couple called up here at the front of the month. How extensive do you think John Daniels and the staff will be in terms of how many guys they may bring up over the course of the month?
Well, I think they're going to bring up as many as possible that they feel comfortable with. I think there's still a few more left. They could use another infielder maybe. They're probably going to bring up some more pitching. You know, they've talked about bringing up Jerickson Profar and Leonis Martinez, role players. You know, Profar's coming from shoulder surgery. Martinez coming off hamate bone surgery, you know. Both will be very limited, just like Josh Hamilton will be limited because of his knee, and Carlos Corcoran will be limited because of his thumb. So I think what you're looking at is quantity over quality. They're trying to find as many role players as possible to kind of fit it into all the little slots that they have. And but I think you'll see a lot of call-ups.
Yeah, it is. Hamilton comes back as a potential pinch hitter tonight. Is that a role that could expand over time? Is there hope that he would get enough health back in the knee that he'd be able to, you know, I don't know, participate a little more extensively than that?
They've been hoping for Josh Hamilton to be healthy since May 25th. and it just hasn't happened. I mean, he's had a few spurts here and there, but he keeps breaking down, and I don't think it's realistic to think that he's going to hold up, you know, for an extended period of time as an everyday player. So I think in September, for the most part, he's going to be a pinch hitter, and then maybe at the end of the month, he might be able to get him back out in the outfield. But I think for now, he's just going to be able to pinch hit, and they'll have to use a pinch runner for him.
Which is kind of why they'd
like to get Leonis Martin up here. So you'd have, you know, let's say, you know, you pinch it for Josh, or Josh pinch it, gets on base, and you bring Martin in to run for him.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know, you burn a couple of bodies.
I mean, they're kind of piecing this whole thing together because, I mean, they got some able bodies, but they got a lot of bodies that kind of look like the old Spirit of 76 band there with all the bandages wrapped around as they go marching down the hillside.
Greg, I mean, maybe the busiest week in the Mariners' season so far. Let's just start with the headline event, and that was, you know, Jack Cerenzik let go, and you know, a changing of the guard in Seattle. Tell us just a little bit, you know, now that we're several days beyond it, you know, what do you make of it all?
Well, it's interesting, Dave. Every season, I always say when you start out, it's like a novel. You start out and you start reading the first chapters, and you're not sure where it's going to go. And this one, you know, the early chapters were what a great season it was, and where that was going to take them. And it turned out being a bad story. It didn't go well. It wasn't a good ending. And now Jack Cerenzik will not be here for the final chapters of the book that he helped author, that team he helped put together. And when you have high expectations and things don't go well, prices are paid. And usually in Major League Baseball, it's paid at the top with the manager or the general manager. In this case, Cerenzik, in his seventh year, they hadn't made the playoffs. A lot of expectations this year came up shy, and so they made the change. They went, you know, about a month before the end of the season. Kevin Mather, the team president, wanting to spend that time to really look for the right guy for the future, and wanted to get after that and get going. So they made the change, of course, Friday in Chicago, and Jeff Kingston now the assistant GM handling things through the final month. So it'll be an interesting offseason for sure. They hope to get a new man in place. Mather's saying they will very much like an experienced hand to lead this team. They feel like they're close, and they want a guy who's been there. They don't want to learn on the job and spend a couple of years. They want to hit the right ground running with the right guy and finish this thing off where they want to be, which is playing baseball well into October. So that's the thought process, and it'll be interesting to see what that means.
Yeah, it's you know, these situations are always fascinating to me because the incoming general manager now takes over a team with some pretty interesting pieces, right? You know, you got Felix locked up. You got Robinson Cano locked up. You have some really significant pieces in place. And so the next GM, he's going to have to fill in, you know, in the margins, make his moves where he can. You can look at it one of two ways. There's some limitations in payroll because of the money that's committed. And yet at the same time, you've got a core that's already in place you can build around. I think that, you know, whereas you see teams who just blow everything up and they'll bring in a guy and let him just, you know, apply his theory and his experiment in, on that club. So to me, that's really going to guide a little bit who they get. But I would think this would end up being a very attractive job to prospective general managers.
Yeah, and it is interesting exactly what you're talking about because it is a team. And you mentioned Felix and Cano and also Kyle Seager locked up long term. They locked up Nelson Cruz for another 3 years. And those are big pieces, and they're pieces that are performing. You know, those are guys in the prime of their life and playing well. Cano, of course, the rough start, but you know, he's hit 350 in the last month, and certainly looking like the Robbie Cano that they expected, and no reason to think that he shouldn't continue that. So yeah, you come in as a GM with those pieces in place, and you would hope that if you can supplement that, you got a pretty good group. And that certainly is Mariners' hope. But they're also open-minded, and Mather said when he made the change to it, hey, I'm going to bring guys in. I want to hear what they think. I want to listen to baseball people. And if I have, you know, a bunch of people telling me, boy, you're going the wrong direction, we've got to do some different things here. He says, I want to hear that. He says, I don't want somebody just coming in and say, yeah, this is perfect. You know, obviously things have not worked perfectly, and they do. There are changes that need to be made, and whether it's player development, drafting, you know, whatever. You know, there's reasons things aren't working, and they haven't been in the playoffs since 2001. So, yeah, this is an opportunity for somebody to come in and make a mark. It's a franchise that that you know, they're willing to spend some money. They're, you know, $130 million payroll and an ownership group that wants to win. This is a team that they thought they were building for, and I think that's really why a change was made. They felt they'd been patient, kind of built for this moment, and things aren't adding up, and things you know, weren't where they wanted to finish here this year. So they want to see somebody that can take them over the top, take them to that next level, and certainly there's some guys out there I think who want to take that opportunity.
Oh, man, I would think so. I've always seen this franchise as a real sleeping giant, and maybe that's an indictment on Zirinczyk. I don't know, but I feel like they've been close. As you say, they spend money. They're willing to do it. They've got resources. We've seen the bubble up of some of the young talent, whether it be Taijuan Walker or Paxton making his way back from injury. Zirinczyk's last move, I guess, was his last move, right? Was sending Mike Zunino out apparently get himself right for the month of September. It's interesting, you know, it's your first-round pick from a couple years ago, and you're sending him down, and that of course, never looks great. But what did you make of that move?
Well, it was interesting. It was the last thing they told Mike on Friday night, I guess it was, after the game, that he was being sent down to Tacoma, and the next morning was when the change was made with Jack being fired. So that was his last move. You know, it's a move, and that's a guy they put in a lot of hopes and still are, that central part of this franchise. And the feeling is they've just rushed him too much. They needed him too quick. He came up a heck of a guy behind the plate, but just not hitting the way they want, and didn't have a lot of at-bats in the minors, and, you know, maybe needs to get back, and whether it's the 10 days they can give him now or whatever, you know, they're hoping just relax him and get him back and for that stretch run to see what he can do. Interestingly, take it for what it is, he's gone down to Tacoma 4-for-4 last night with a pair of homers. He's 7-for-12 with three bombs in three games. So, yeah, he can hit Triple-A pitching. And maybe he just needs to relax and bring that back up with him. Or maybe there's a reason the guys are pitching in Triple-A. You never know what he's seeing down there right now. But he is a guy. He's a guy they need. You know, they need to get Ketel Marte, kid they're looking at shortstop. And now yesterday, send Adam Austin Jackson to the Cubs to open up the spot in center field that Brad Miller's going to fill here in the last month and see kind of what he can do. So definitely this last month, looking at some pieces, some young guys, and where they can be. And Zunino definitely going to be part of that. I expect him to be back up shortly as soon as Tacoma's season ends on Monday.
Jane, it is September, officially, in fact, as you and I speak. The Oakland A's have, as we prepare to do our podcast today, they have just announced that they are calling up, is it 8 players to expand the rosters here in September?
8. That seems like a lot for the first day.
Yeah, it does. Any highlights in that group?
You know, their bullpen's been wearing thin here recently. They've had to get a lot of innings from those guys. So you kind of knew, you know, coming into this day that was an area that, you know, they were going to kind of focus on and bring in help from there. But you know, so you see guys like Dan Otero, RJ Alvarez, Arnold Leon, guys that we've seen this season, you know, get a chance to come up again and probably stay for the entire month and the rest of the season. And then you know, there are some cool stories too. A guy like Tyler Ladendorf, a really versatile guy who they had high hopes for coming into the season. He started the year on the opening day roster. He was only up for a little bit of time just because of, you know, a numbers crunch, went down and got hurt, had surgery on his ankle, and they really didn't expect him to be back so soon. He just returned from the disabled list a couple weeks ago, and this is a guy they do want to take, you know, a good long look at, a guy that they could see, you know, part of their big league roster next year. So it's nice to see him, you know, not only back and healthy, but, you know, coming up too on the big league roster today. And then, you know, a veteran guy, Jason Priority, an outfielder who's been, you know, waiting for another chance to get back to the big leagues and had a good spring for the A's as a non-roster guy. And, you know, really has been performing really well in Nashville. I believe the other day he secured his 20th home run and 20th steal to become the first player to do that for them in a while. So, you know, the A's are big on you know, rewarding guys who have had good years and not necessarily, you know, just calling up guys, you know, because they feel like that's the thing to do. You know, you still see Craig Gentry still in AAA, and that's something I'm not sure anyone expected, you know, at any part of the season, let alone seeing him be down there for most of the season. He's still kind of, you know, finding his way down there, but to see guys like Priority, and then a guy like Leydendorf, who they do want to take, you know, a good look at, to see them come up, and a few others. Carson Blair is another good story, a catcher who hasn't made his big league debut yet. So this will be his first taste of the majors. He's been toiling in the minors for a while. So always some good stories this time of year, and they definitely have a few of them.
I kind of lost track, Jane. I know Barry Zito was working his way up. He was injured a little bit. Is there, I don't know, is there any chance that Barry Zito might bubble up and show up here in September, maybe pitch a game for Oakland again?
You know, at this point, it doesn't seem likely, which I know is really disappointing. I think for everyone, just because, you know, I think the fans deserve, especially during a season like this where not a lot has gone right, you know, you want to give the fans something to be excited about. And I think, you know, seeing Zito in green and gold again, in Oakland again, pitching for the A's, even if just, you know, once or twice, that would have been something. And, you know, I think that would have been something for the fans to really enjoy during an otherwise up and down season. But he is still hurt. He's still on the minor league disabled list. So I still keep getting questions, you know, why not Zito? Why do they keep passing over Zito? Well, at this point, it is about the injury and not so much about giving him the opportunity. And it's disappointing because he did, you know, he was kind of inconsistent with Nashville, but did have some very good outings. And, you know, I think they saw that they did have their chances, but they would have had to put him on the 40-man. And at times this year, you know, it just didn't work out in that regard. And of course now they do have guys, you know, they're transferring to the 60-day disabled list, guys like Jesse Hahn. And so there are those 40-man spots opening, and now he's hurt. So probably not the way anyone kind of foresaw his, you know, just going down with him. You know, you see him sign to a minor league deal and you think, well, at some point during the season, you know, the team's used so many pitchers over the course of the year. He's, you know, no doubt going to get his opportunity as long as he can stay healthy. And unfortunately got hurt a couple weeks ago and is probably done for the season.
Now you have plenty to talk about at your water cooler with everybody at work. Thanks for listening. MLB.com Extras, the American League West edition.